All right. Testing 1, 2. All right, that's enough of that. What's good, people? And I'm debating whether I'm going to put this on Anchor Podcast or if I'm going to put it on YouTube. I'm not sure. But either way, it's my first go around officially testing out some audio commentary here. I took a stab at it a couple times and then, you know, I would always delete it, but I'm actually going to try to follow through with it 100%. I don't know how that's going to work out, so bear with me. Being as though it's October, I know I should be doing reviews or audio commentaries for horror. Of course, because it's October, Halloween will be here before we know it. But I wanted to try something a little different, something I could probably speed through and maybe not geek out so much too and talk everyone's heads off in the process. So I'm going to try to test this out with Furious 7. Now, it's kind of random, but anybody that knows me knows I am a diehard Fast and the Furious franchise fan. That is my favorite action series of all time. Came out in, what, 2001, if I'm not mistaken. Still rocking. Hobbs and Shaw just came out not too long ago. Couple months ago, actually. And they're filming, they're about to wrap up filming on Fast 9. Now, I am, like, when I say I'm a diehard buff to this, I could take you through the ins and outs of it. It's stuff that I probably miss here and there. But the more and more I watch these movies, the more I catch up on. And the more I love them. So the reason I wanted to start off with 7 is because, for one, Paul Walker's final film, you know, if you don't count Hours, he had already finished filming the movie Hours that came out. I still haven't seen it, but he actually died during filming of Furious 7. So they had to finish his scenes and the rest of the movie with, you know, stunt doubles, CG, stuff like that. Shout out to Weta Digital. They did a pretty good job with, doing the digital Paul Walker. Some scenes it's not so good depending on who plays them. You had I can't remember the guy's name, but he plays Shepard, Mr. Nobody's right hand man in this movie. He did stand-ins for Paul Walker. Cody and Caleb Walker did stand-ins for him. Now the younger brother, it always looks the best for me when the younger brother is digitized on his face, or when he's digitized on his brother's face. But I mean, they did what they could, man. So without further ado, I'm going to jump into this. Press and play right now. Now, just a disclaimer, this is probably in my top 3 Fast and Furious movies in the entire series. My number one being Fast 6, then it being Fast 7, and then Hobbs and Shaw being number 3. But this was just an experience, man. I saw it, I think it came out around the time my daughter's mother went into labor. So when I had the chance, when I was in the hospital after my daughter was born, you know, when she would get her sleep or when she was in and out of the hospital room, I would watch little snippets of Fast and Furious online. But I went to the theater with 2 friends of mine and went to see it. Probably one of the best theater experiences ever. Plus, I went there drunk, so that just elevated everything, made it a little better. Now, right here, we got the first shot of Deckard Shaw, Jason Statham, man. Now, Jason Statham, now, the way they tied in the story was crazy. You know, they made it so that Tokyo, all these movies were prequels to Tokyo Drift, but at the end of Fast 6, you had a stinger, kind of a la MCU, where you find out Jason Statham killed Han in Tokyo Drift, and he did that because he's getting revenge on the crew that killed his brother, who is Owen Shaw from Fast 6. Now, you see Owen Shaw cooped up in the hospital right now. He survived that fall out of the out of that jumbo jet, which nobody should have fucking survived, but it's Fast and Furious, so who cares? But yeah, he's still alive in a coma. Now, this originally, they sped it up here, but this originally was a classic James Wan tracking shot where Shaw goes from the hospital room all the way into his car, like gets in the elevator, goes down into the lobby and everything. and you see all the destruction he's caused. You see everybody he took out, the everybody that he just fucked up, all parts of the building that he just demolished. And this was a bad ass opening. I really wish they didn't speed it up and we just got to be in the scene with him as long as we possibly could to the moment he drove off from the hospital. This was a great opening. And I didn't really appreciate it until I watched it over and over again a couple times. Speaking of James Wan, man, he had big shoes to fill because Justin Lin had been directing these movies since Tokyo Drift. So he did Tokyo Drift. That was his first go round. They brought him back to kind of bring everything back home with Fast and Furious 2009. Fast 5, Fast 6 was his last movie. And James Wan stepped in and he brought some real flavor to this series, man. He brought some real thriller elements to it. He polished it up a little differently. It looks good, man. He did a good job. And kudos to that man for, you know, filling these big shoes and then having such a tragedy on set. And then still being able to, along with the cast and crew, to finish this movie. And then to gracefully bow out. You know, he blessed them with an amazing sequel. With an amazing send-off for an amazing character. And he went on to do other things. So shout out James Wan for that. Now we got Letty and Dom. Man, Letty and Dom, yo, they the epitome of true love in this series, literally ride or die. And I love their relationship because Dom, he's still working with her. He's trying to make her remember things. He's taking her to Race Wars from the original movie. She still can't remember anything from when Phoenix tried to blow her up in Fast and Furious 4. But you got Dom, who never gave up on her and never will. And he's just taking her places, showing her things, telling her stuff, trying to make her remember. Race Wars, this was good nostalgia for for the diehard fans of the series. And honestly, with everything that ties together and comes full circle in this movie, this really truly, and with the death of Paul Walker, this could have been the last Fast and Furious movie. It really could have. And it would have ended on such a great note. And you know what? For the people that bitch and moan about, these movies used to be about racing, now they're super spy, James Bond, Mission Impossible movies. It's like, first of all, these movies were never the fuck about racing to begin with. Sorry I got flip out for a second, but you get a race in the beginning of the movie. Yeah, it's brief. But it's still a race. At Race Wars, of all places, and the kid fried his pistons. You know, shout out to the reference of the Buster from the first movie, the very first race where he fried his pistons. You gotta love the small things, man. But you know, sir, it's such a PC culture. You can't please these fans out here, man. That's the girl I heard so much about. Iggy Azalea cameo. Now, mind you, when I went to see this in the theater, I was drinking a Four Loko in the theater, and I almost threw the shit at the screen when I saw Iggy Azalea, because I didn't really like her back then. She's cool now that she's kind of staying away from music. Hector. Another nod to the original. And Letty's having she's having these flashes in this movie because she's starting to remember things little by little, but they come in like kind of these, like, not violent spurts, but just these random quick cut flashes to where she almost freaks out. And she just socked the shit out of Hector and just took off. Here we got the Buster. R.I.P. Paul Walker. We got Brian O'Connor for the first time. This scene always had me cracking up because he got so much determination in his eyes and all he's doing is pulling up to his son's school. I love it. And I love that they carried on the fact that they all got their pardon, so now they can they're back home. They can live like in peace. They're not on the run anymore. They're not criminals. Brian's taking little Jack to school.
I'm new to this.
I love it, man.
Well, not exactly. Hey, buddy, you gonna give me a high five? Wait, high five. All right, yeah, buddy. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Don't worry, I'll get used to this in no time.
That's what
I'm Brian, another see, like I said, the small thing. Shout out to the blue van. Brian always has to have a blue car of some kind. That's his twist. This was a pretty this was pretty deep. Letty at her empty plot, her tombstone. When she was supposedly dead. This is kind of morbid though, because I don't know. I couldn't handle some shit like that.
I guess now the joke's on me. What are you doing?
What I should have done a long time ago.
Stop it. Look at it. It's the truth. That's the day that I lost my memory. That's the date that Letty died. And I was born.
You never die.
You know how hard it is for me when you look at me and you see me through 15 years of memories? Every beautiful moment we've ever had, I see it in your eyes. I can't give that to you. I got nothing.
You got me.
And you've got only a piece of me.
Damn.
I have to find myself. For me.
This scene kind of hurt, man, when I first saw it, because it's deep. Like, even for, you know, people consider these cheesy, macho-lined, you know, super spy over the top movies, but there is a lot of heart to each and every one of these Fast and Furious movies. And that was a moment of it right there. You don't get moments like this in you know, movies like this. Hobbs, big dog, man.
You're disappointed.
Shout out to The Rock, man. The Rock came on Fast Five, and people say he saved the series. I wouldn't say he saved it. I say he damn sure helped it a lot. Because when The Rock came on board, there was a different standard that was set for action and ass kicking.
See you tomorrow, boss.
And Dwayne Johnson has not let up with the ass kicking in these movies. This movie, he's like barely in it. He's in maybe three scenes. Well, not scenes, but he's in the opening. He's cooped up in the hospital after this, spoiler alert. And at the end, he's in it. Yeah, I meant to say spoiler alert. If you're listening to this and you haven't seen Fast 7, I'm sorry, but this came out.
It's a letter recommendation.
Can't even remember the year it came out.
You just know I meant every word of that.
Thanks, Hobbs. Thanks for everything.
Come on, way too sentimental right now.
2015 it came out, I'm tripping.
Hey. Hi.
The hell am I talking about? Just had a quick brain fart moment. Forgive me. And now shit's about to get real. Hobbs sees somebody in his office. Lo and behold, it is Deckard Shaw. This is one of the best fight scenes in the series. And it will ultimately inspire the Hobbs and Shaw movie, which was fucking awesome. But it makes me wonder who really would win in a one-on-one with them. No guns, no tech bombs and all that type stuff. Like, who would win? Because you got strength and speed.
That thinker six different ways and stick it right where the sun doesn't shine.
Vision hubs, right?
That's right. I'm also the last man on Earth whose computer you want to be hacking into. You just earned yourself a dance with the devil, boy. You're under arrest.
Like I said, the other team crippled my brother.
There ain't no goddamn team. It was just one man.
And I love that Hobbs is so ballsy. He's like, there ain't no goddamn team. Like, it's like he was risking his life. Like, he knew, he probably thought he could beat Shaw, but he was just like, listen, ain't no team, dog. Like, he didn't throw anybody under the bus. He's like, it was just me. Hobbs is such an honorable character, man. But now he's about to get worked out a little bit. These fight scenes, man, they made these fight scenes ever since Fast Five like fucking monster movies, like King Kong versus Godzilla. They tear stuff up. They run through shit, they break shit, like it's crazy. They get it in. Rock bottom. Now he should have been down for the count. I know it's Fast and Furious. James Wan with that camera spin, man, love it. Yes, I know, they're superheroes. Hobbs should have been dead. She probably should have been dead, even though he broke her fall. She probably would have crashed through his body. And they both would have just been conjoined. But it's the Fast and Furious movie. That's my excuse, and I run with it every time. I don't care. We know the series is over the top. I look at it like, even this was part 7. If you're 7 movies in still looking for realism, you are in the wrong place. These movies, you take your brain off, check it at the door. This is a great, great, great sequence. It's kind of sad though, because this is the first glimpse we get of CG Paul Walker, and you can kind of tell. And the voice is even kind of different. And it's crazy. James Wan plays around with these angles, man. He plays around with these angles and he plays around with a lot of lighting to kind of stray you away from Brian O'Connor's face. Now, I always wonder if they strayed away from his face in the other movies this much. But he had to do it because, you know, you didn't want it to be super obvious. And the scenes where you don't stray away from his face, where it's close up on it, sometimes it is obvious. This movie will always have a dark cloud over, no matter how great it is for me. It'll always have a dark cloud over it, because I was able, all except like two parts, I was able to identify every CG Paul Walker, every single one except two, just about two. Now, I don't know if this new baby was written in afterwards to retire his character easier, or if it was already in the original theatrical cut or a theatrical script. Seems like it would be more reason for them to retire his character, because they could have killed his character off, but seeing as though Paul Walker died in real life, they probably felt like that would have been a little wrong to the fans. So they just retired his character. But I feel like him having another kid was even more reason for his character to get out of the game. Here we go. Yeah. Tokyo Drift tie-in right here. This was awesome.
You don't know me. You're about to.
And when I saw this trailer, when they debuted the trailer where they showed the house exploding, for one, it's pretty damn emotional because I feel like that house is my house. And two, I thought that when I saw Brian O'Connor slam against that window, I was like, okay, he's going to be out of commission for the remainder of the movie. So that's how they're going to get rid of him. They're going to have to do the missions without him. But I was dead wrong. It's another CG shot. It's pretty good, though. They had the smoke flying past his face. Now, I want to know what they're going to do. Are they going to rebuild this house in Fast 9? Or are they just going to leave it? And are they going to have a new home?
Collarbone fractured his leg in two places. He only regained consciousness this morning. First thing he said was, get me down.
Now, this is another thing, man. Elena and, you know, I had my, as this being my favorite franchise, I had my nitpicks with this also, with this franchise too. Like, I'm not that much of a fanboy to where I'm like, oh, it's perfect. No, there are plot holes galore in this franchise. This is one of them. Elena was not fucking pregnant. Flying out of the window, and she was not pregnant. She said she was pregnant in Fast 6 when Dom found out Letty was alive. Jack was a baby then. Jack's old enough to walk and talk now. And then in Fate of the Furious, more years had passed, and Elena had a baby, a newborn. Probably like, excuse me, like a couple months old. Now, that, no. Nah.
Dad. Oh, I'm sorry, baby. Dad? Honey, I want to introduce you to somebody. He's an old friend.
This when we get introduced to Hobbs' daughter. It was a nice touch, though. Gentle giant. It made him more of a gentle giant.
Young lady, watch your mouth. Your dad's on heavy pain meds. I can understand that this history is a little hazy.
I doubt.
All right, honey, let's not. I want you to go get something to eat with Elena. I mean, she read how to talk. You hear me?
Come on, lady. Let's get some cookies.
Who did this? You remember Owen Shaw?
It's a good brother-to-brother moment with,
Well, this is a big
with, Hobbs and Dom right here. It's good to see these moments because, honestly, Hobbs was not the villain. On the outside looking in, he wasn't the villain in Fast 5. He was the hero. He was the lawman, you know, trying to take down these criminals. You know, these outlaws. But, you know, to us, to the true fans, of the diehard fans of the series, Hobbs was the villain, basically. Because they were more like Robin Hood, you know, they were taken from the rich kind of, given to the poor kind of thing. Like in Fast and Furious 4, when they robbed the oil rig or whatever it was a gasoline truck or something like that. And they just had a big ass party afterwards and souped up everybody's trucks and divvied up on the money. Honor among thieves kind of shit.
Which is why when I get out, I'm going to put a hurt on him so bad he's going to wish his mother had kept her legs closed. But until then, my official answer to you is stand down.
Now you know I can't do that.
I do know you, Dom, which is why now I give you the brother-to-brother answer.
Real talk.
Do whatever it is you got to do. When you find that son of a bitch, just do me one favor. What's that?
Don't miss. Real rap. And you know, the dialogue is, they do have a macho moments, but this is no different from the Schwarzenegger, the Stallones, the Seagals. Like, this is no different from the macho content and dialogue of those movies. If anything, it's a modern, upgraded homage, man. And then some.
You know that money.
I prefer movies that are more modern because they're more entertaining. Like, I mean, I like the Stallone movies, the Schwarzenegger movies more than anything back in the day. I think I liked the Stallone movies as I got older, but I always liked the Arnie movies. But I was never like a Steven Seagal fan. As far as the macho guys back in the day, I was never a Seagal fan. I was never a Chuck Norris fan. Shit like that. But you know, these guys are macho guys in movies. Not so much Paul Walker. He was more so of a heartthrob. But he could do the macho type of movies, but he still was a heartthrob in the movies. He was eye candy for the ladies. I mean, they all are to the ladies, I guess, but Vin Diesel's a macho man. He does a lot of sci-fi shit. The Rock is definitely this generation's Arnold Schwarzenegger. Jason Statham is kind of like this generation's Steven Seagal, but he just on steroids because he's like fighting sharks and shit now. So, you know. In a way, I guess it was only right him and Dwayne Johnson did Hobbs versus Shaw because Dwayne Johnson did Rampage and Statham did the Meg, so they're all going up against big ass creatures. It was only right. But Vin did it first though, Pitch Black. He did. And I don't know what the hell those things, they were nocturnal alien beetle bat things. I don't know what they were. Now this scene, Brian and Mia in Mondo's garage. This, I feel like they took a scene from Fast Five and imposed them into another setting digitally. They combined the two different aspects in one scene because they look really out of place. They look like they were from a different movie, a different Fast and Furious movie, and they just digitally imposed them in that setting. And they do that two other times with Paul Walker to fit him in some scenes. They do it on when he's talking to Dom on the plane. That's a scene from Fast Five with Brian. And they do it a scene from the end of Fast Five with Brian when they're in Dubai. The way they do it is pretty clever, though. To the naked eye, you would never tell, but I'm a geek like that. Now, here we get the Tokyo Drift flashback. This is stock footage, though. Bow Wow wasn't really in it. He didn't get a check for this movie. Neither did the girl that played Neela. Now we got the scene that Lucas Black actually did film. And it's cool he actually got to film another scene with Vin Diesel because Vin Diesel came at the end of Tokyo Drift. Which is actually when Vin Diesel agreed to come back. He said he would come back for the cameo only under the condition that they let him make the Chronicles of Riddick movie. I think the agreement was he would come back for the cameo in Tokyo Drift and come back for another movie if they gave him the rights to the Riddick films. So he made the Chronicles of Riddick after that, and then he became producer from Fast and Furious 2009 on out. I think that was the agreement, which was a pretty smart chess move right there. Lucas Black, I didn't really care for when Tokyo Drift first came out, but the more and more I watch Tokyo Drift, I don't hate it as much. It is the weakest link of all the movies for me personally, but I really hope they bring Lucas Black back for more than just a cameo in Fast 9 because I feel like his character is relevant and can be relevant to the story if they write him in there the right way. It's just all it takes is good writing and good execution. This was another scene that got me because on the DVD of Fast 6, they had this one clip on here on the Blu-ray, I think, of the funeral, Han's funeral. It's pretty fucking sad. And I think it'll be a Now, before I talk about the Han revelation that I think will be in Fast 9, this is classic James Wan right here. This is a straight up James Wan thriller moment in a Fast and Furious movie. You got Tej saying, yo, we're being hunted. He's out there watching. Then you got Shaw creeping in this. I don't know if this is a Porsche. I'm not sure. Don't quote me on that. I asked him, Martin, it might be. But he's creeping like a serial killer in the cemetery. Disrespectful. Creeping at the funeral of the man he killed. Vin Diesel, you know, Dom sees him.
No more funerals. Just one more.
Yeah, Dom wasn't playing around. Damn, now that I think about it, how, I don't think they would take it that far, but how insane would that have been to have them, like, have a small little, even more of a chase through the cemetery? That might have been a little disrespectfully morbid. But this, the way this looks, just the cinematography, the way it's shot, this looks like the Death Sentence, also directed by James Wan, which is why I made the reference. But this looks exactly like something out of Death Sentence. So I said, man, kudos to James. Kudos to James Wan, man, because he was a horror director. You know, he did Saw. I think it was the Conjuring movies, if I'm not mistaken. He's from like a horror background, man. But he dabbles in a whole bunch of other shit. He did this. This is action. He brought thriller elements to it. He did Aquaman and did a phenomenal job. That movie's a visual epic and definitely a win for DC. You know, he's producing the Mortal Kombat reboot that's in production. He's behind. This is back to horror. He's behind the pilot of I Know What You Did Last Summer coming from Netflix. You know, he's behind, supposed to be behind the Arachnophobia remake. James Wan is the man, yo. That's why I said he added a lot of flair to this movie of his own. Now, there are a lot of things I forgive in this franchise, but this, at least have the airbags pop out and have the airbags deploy and pop or something. Damn it. Like, damn, like it, something. They just got out like, oh, you alive, huh?
Never should have messed with a match.
No whiplash. No. But they're superheroes. It's my story. I stick to it. That's gonna be the running gag for this commentary.
It's like going into a ring with weighted gloves.
Your mistake. I'm not here to play games. See, you and me, we're from different worlds. Trust me, I've seen a lot meaner streets than the ones you're used to.
Stick around. It's gonna get a lot meaner.
That
this was gonna be a street fight.
And that gun Shaw has is definitely from GoldenEye 64. Except it was a little more gray. And here we get the introduction of Mr. Nobody, Kurt Russell himself. Now, quick Dom is like a ninja when he wants to be. Now, quick fun fact. I've been dropping a lot of these, but another quick fun fact. This role of Mr. Nobody that Kurt Russell played, they originally offered this role to none other than Denzel Washington. And Denzel Washington turned it down because it was too small of a role. Now, I get it. Denzel is big money. That's top billing right there. He's top billing more than Dwayne Johnson or Vin Diesel or Paul Walker. He's top billing, period. And I see why he turned it down. I do. But thinking about it, and I don't really care. I'm sorry. I really, like, they could take Kurt Russell out of this movie and it wouldn't make a difference to me. But he does have a certain, I hate to use this word, swag about him in here, but I don't think Denzel in such a small role, it would have worked. As much as I love Denzel and damn near everything he's in. That was a really weird description, and I'm sorry. Hopefully it's understood.
Looks
I hope it made sense.
I mean, I don't know about the whole celibacy thing, but when it comes to beer, would you like one?
More of a Corona man myself.
But yeah, Mr. Nobody was... I know there's a lot of convenience in this series. A lot. But Kurt Russell as Mr. Nobody, he was just a too convenient of a character. Dom's like, I do this my way. He's like, yep, and that's why I grabbed your team. And they just pull up. And it's like, okay, like, is it, did you have a timer on your watch or something? It's just like I don't dislike Kurt Russell in this movie. It's just the fact that if he wasn't in here, I would still enjoy the movie. He didn't make or break the film, basically, is what I'm trying to say.
Company led by a wanted terrorist named Moses Yikande kidnapped a hacker known only by the name Ramsey. Now, Lady Liberty's got her panties in a bunch over this, but rightfully so, because this Ramsey has created something interesting. Bring it up.
This scene, people, is what we like to call exposition. Explanations, just elongated conversations explaining shit that maybe we could have stretched out, but it's like, nope, we gotta fit all of this shit in here so we don't have to talk about it ever again.
With this, we'd have located him anywhere on the planet in a couple of hours. Now, that's a serious piece of machinery that could be catastrophic in the wrong hands. But for some very nauseating political reasons, any rescue plans involving any U.S. government forces or entity has been strictly ruled out. And that's why I need you.
Why do I need you? I mean, I could go back.
This is a scene in the movie that also didn't make or break the movie for me. It's just like, I feel like certain exposition in these movies, it's like, whatever. I love these movies. Like I said, I'm not a fanboy enough to know that these I'm not a fanboy enough to ignore that these movies do have flaws and there are plot holes in them. A flaw is just like some of the exposition. I get you have to explain things, but it's just like, could have just bought the team in.
More importantly, you and your family don't go to any more funerals. You get Ramsey, you get the God's Eye, you get Shaw.
Well, that's the wind up in the pitch. Here I am talking shit about Mr. Nobody's character, and I know like he's got some standout lines in here. I won't hold you. I'm such a contradiction right now.
I assumed you might say that, which is why I've taken the liberty of gathering your team.
Gathering your team, and I had a stopwatch, and here they are. A couple seconds late for making a fashionably late entrance, but here they are. Now I remember when this trailer dropped and they did this close-up on Paul Walker, I thought the CG was that good that that was a CG Paul Walker, and I was telling everybody, like, yo, this CG is going to be stupid. But come to find out, he filmed like, they said like 80, 85% of the movie before he passed away.
There's only one road that leads in or out. Shear drops on every side. A motorcade from hell protected by a small army from 1 mile in either direction. Yeah. You done?
No, I'm not done.
So you
Roman snapping. Tej is playing a fucking game on his phone. Brian and Dom are just looking at each other like, here we go.
To shoot down one of the largest airplanes ever. I shot that shit out the sky. It's not. But this right here, my friend, happens to be the stupidest idea I've ever heard of in my life. I forgot that you were the only one to bring the plane down.
I don't know. Only thing I've ever seen him take down was no knees to the knees. Remember?
Really, Brian?
Yeah.
You gonna do that right here? So y'all trying to get me off my point. All I'm saying is I'm tired of everybody.
John Brotherin is his name. The guy that did stand in for Paul Walker, which is kind of creepy. The guy that plays Shepard, his name's John Brotherin. Which is kind of creepy because you're doing scenes with Paul Walker and it's just like, you got to fill these big ass shoes when he passes away. Like, well, you're his body size and kind of resemble him. So do you want to do stand in?
whatever. I mean, I think
it's really strange. It's probably the best work he did in the movie, because I hate his character. I don't like his character at all. The guy, John Brotherin.
Okay. It is impossible to hit it there. That is literally the most secure spot on the mountain. Why? Because you cannot physically access it.
See, that's what makes it so sweet. Because it's the place that they least expect us to hit him from.
As much as I hate to admit it, he's on to something there. What do you think, Dom?
Here.
Yeah.
I think we got a plan.
Completely wrong thinking. And I like it.
You see, I'm good at this.
Good. Okay. How are you planning on getting on that road?
Well,
Tej,
I think I may actually have a plan for that.
What? I delegate. That's what good leaders do. Leader. You know,
Roman's an asshole.
I was impressed with what I've accomplished with the team, but meeting them now, I gotta say, Dom, you've truly got a gift. Consider my workshop your new playhouse. I think you'll find our cards extremely appealing. And your team is now complete.
I went to the house. I was looking for you everywhere. You scared the shit out of me.
I hate that line. I don't know why. For some reason, I cannot stand when she said that.
Where did you find that?
Found in Han's car. Was left as a message. A message I plan on returning.
And what did Sean Boswell, what did he buff that shit? Because Shaw threw it next to Han's car. Han's car exploded, and then he's like, we found a couple things by the crash, and then that shit just came out sparkling. I must have took that shit to Tokyo's finest buffers.
And that's a lot of armor. It's just gonna add more weight, slow you down. This time it ain't just about being fast.
It's about being furious. He should have said that, and the record should have just scratched. They should have been like, all right, Dom, we get it. And everybody just walked off. Don't let me ever spoof this movie. As much as I love it, a spoof would be hilarious.
Hey, Ronan.
You
freaking out, ain't you?
This is one of the best sequences in this entire movie.
Listen, man, it takes a grown man to embrace his feelings. If you need to cry, just go ahead and cry. As your friend, you know.
And it works because they're all assholes towards each other. I love it.
Adult diapers in your glove compartment.
So can you just chill out, man?
And I honestly, Roman is so logical in this scene, because on some real shit, listen, I know we got a job to do and all of that. I don't do heights. I've only been on a plane once in my life, and I was a child, and I wasn't old enough to know that they fall out of the sky. So driving a car in reverse out of one of these bitches is a completely different story. So I don't even blame Roman for this scene. This scene was amazing, though, in the theater. It still is. But they really drop planes out of the sky, though, in the scene. If you watch the making of it, this scene in particular, you see they had guys with GoPros on their helmets and parachutes on their back, and they were skydiving, jumping out as the cars went in reverse out of the plane. The guys were running out to get the camera angles, and this shit's amazing. The lengths they go to for these movies, man, they're really ambitious, and they work every time, every single time. And that rattling sound you hear when Dom's car is just going sailing down. I love these fucking movies. I love the stunts. I love the lengths they go to be outrageously over the top. I love it. Couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. couldn't do it. Whether in a car or otherwise, like, I'm passing out the moment I drop out of it, out of the plane. I'm passing out. So I'd have been in that car. They'd have been like, yo, you good? Room, you awake? My ass is unconscious. Splat.
I'm already on it.
Hey man, listen, I'm sorry to let y'all down, okay? I'm gonna go ahead and stay up here.
I love this. Cause they knew he was gonna puss out. They knew he was gonna puss out. And the way his car is flipping, it's like, nope, not at all. I'm definitely passing out. If not, that'd be the loudest scream, y'all out there, that'd be the loudest scream you ever hear from a grown-ass man in existence. That part was badass. Cause it's like, all right, enough with the pleasantries and the parachutes and the GPS guided stuff, and let's get on this road and let's burn some rubber and do what we do. Love it. Mm-hmm. Love it. It's a badass shot right there too. All of them one after another. It's like, this is not the plan. Now I wanna know how the hell did Roman find his way and get back on that road? How did he find them? This is a, wait, 7, 8, 9. Okay, that's another thing they're doing in Fast 9 that I saw. It's another scene with a convoy. I love scenes with convoys, like where they're under attack, where they attack. I love it. This was great because they rolled up on the convoy like it was sweet. I mean, at some parts it was, but they were damn sure prepared.
Then let's do this.
Captain, we have company. 4 cars inbound. Tony Jaa, who in my opinion, I'm sorry, he has scenes that shine in this movie, but he was so underused. I feel like Tony Jaa is really underused in American films. He had a bad... Just trying to Swiss cheese they shit up. He had a badass fight scene with Paul Walker, which I do ask myself the question. Paul Walker was... he knew jiu-jitsu and other forms of martial arts, if I'm not mistaken. But it's like, it's Tony Jaa, man. No disrespect to Paul Walker, that's my man, but Tony Jaa, man, if you just watch The Protector alone, I don't know how that's going to play out in the really real world, you going up against Tony Jaa like that. But Tony Jaa is completely underused in this movie. And no disrespect to Vin Diesel, but shame on you, man, because he was under your producer in this movie. You have creative control. He was underused in this movie. He was underused in Triple X Return of Xander Cage. It's Tony Jaa, man. Gotta love that. Bowling. They just went bowling real quick.
Kung Fu.
armor-piercing rounds. Now, there is a guy in this convoy who plays one of the goons, who was actually a goon in Fast and Furious, or Too Fast, Too Furious. He was one of the guys that Brian and Roman raced for the cars. Another nice nod for the diehard fans out there. Bye bye. Look at the Buster, man. Because only real G's surf on their cars. Brian about to jump on this bus and catch wreck. Love this part. Because I was wondering how he was going to get Ramsey that quick. And this explains it. Brian did a fucking speed run. Like, you know how you go on YouTube and watch like video games like Sonic or Super Mario fucking speed run in like a half hour, an hour, they beat the game. It's like, that's what Brian did to get to the Princess Peach. And damn it, if she ain't Princess Peach. Natalie Emmanuel, by the way, plays Ramsey fine as hell. And Roman and Tej drool over her for damn good reason in this and The Fate of the Furious. Hopefully we'll see more of that in Fast 9, but she's the hacker chick. She's very valuable to the team, actually.
Look at me. You don't jump, we're gonna die. Okay? We're jumping. Come on. One, two.
He just threw her out on two. I mean, that's how you gotta do it. This was a good scene. It was it was very reminiscent of Death Proof. Shout out Death Proof, Quentin Tarantino, which also starred Kurt Russell as stuntman Mike. But this was very Death Proof, where Zoe Bell was on the hood of the car and somebody was slamming into it, trying to get her to fly off of it. See, man, there are nods everywhere. If you're a diehard geek ass fan like me, there are nods to everything everywhere. Mr. Shaw. I'm just, you know, hashtag Cinemaniac. It's a group on Facebook, by the way, the Cinemaniacs. It's my movie group. Follow me on Facebook, Instagram, Romero Tudor. Cinemaniacs group, blah, 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 blah. I had to plug and advertise myself for 2 seconds. Sorry. Let's get back to the movie, though. Now, I love this. I mean, it's so many things going on. It's a fight with Kiet and Brian on the bus. Shaw's trying to kill Ramsey while she's on the hood of Dom's car. Dom just popped a little mini wheelie with his car to get Ramsey through the sunroof. Love it. So much going on. This is like if Brian De Palma was on steroids. Like, if Brian De Palma was on steroids, caffeine, and cocaine, then this is what it would be. It's so many different things going on at once. But for anybody out there that... Now, this is the guy that was in Too Fast, Too Furious. Yikes. Whose fucking car just got impaled on a tree branch. This is actually a great scene, these running through these mountains and this forest and stuff. It's really well put together. Now, honestly, I don't... Listen, if you're in a car with Dominic Toretto, He gotta hand you a fair one. If y'all survive, of course y'all gonna survive. It's Dominic Toretto. But when y'all survive, when it's all said and done, you gotta hand me a fair one. You're driving down mountains through trees and shit. You're driving through buildings. You're driving, scraping helicopters. Like, you gotta hand me a fair one, dog. I don't care if I lose. You gotta hand me a fair one for doing all this. This is great. Ugh. The way he damn near drifted on the edge of that cliff. I love it. This is one thing that James Wan brought to this series. This movie, he brought my anxiety out to play in certain scenes. That was one of them. We got another one coming up soon. Up, cheap shot, but it was worth it. That is one time a cheap shot to the nuts will be accepted. He hit Kiet in the nuts to save Letty. Fuck it. Charge it to the game. Now, this is another thing. Like I said, there are flaws. That bus driver, from the moment the back doors blew off, now it must have been in his contract, listen, just drive. Don't ask no questions, don't turn around, don't do anything but drive, because that driver, up until the moment he was just shot by mistake, was still driving. People are dead. Ramsey's gone. People are fighting in the back. And he was still driving. Too slow. Got him. This is another anxiety inducing scene, because it's like when Kiet closed that door on Brian, you know, the bus is going off a damn cliff. This scene is beautiful. The way they composited, whatever word you want to use, with the comp on the front of it, the way they did it was amazing. It's fucking amazing. Now, me, Brian must have some balls of steel, man, because I personally, I don't know if I would have thought to scale the bus and run up it. I don't. Hold on, hold that thought. Roman's back. Yes, sir. Now, that's one thing that is good continuity for this series. Roman is always clutch in Too Fast, Too Furious, in Fast 5, in Fast 6, he's clutch. In Fate of the Furious, he has his clutch moments. That's one thing Roman always is clutched. He gets goofed on and all of that, but he's very clutch. He comes in handy. He is a valuable asset to the team, no matter what anybody says. This is another anxiety-inducing scene, scaling this bus. Of course it's a CG Paul Walker, because it's a whole stunt. Doesn't look bad, though. Now, I remember they put this in the very first trailer where he's running up the bus and Letty drifts to save him and almost cried. Let's go, kid. Let's do it. Rah. Ha! Love it. Now, my thing is, who the hell taught Letty how to drift that well? Also, for you diehard Fast and Furious fans, that's a nod to, because you know all these movies serve as trilogies according to Vin Diesel, so that was a nice nod back to Fast 5, this being Fast 7. Fast 5, Brian jumped off of a train onto the hangar of Dom's car, and Fast 7, Brian jumped off of a bus onto the hangar of Letty's car. It's all very poetic at the end of the day. Sorry, I'm a geek. I know this shit like that. Sue me. Don't worry about me. I don't die. Universal's got my contract set up for 2 more movies after this. 3, to be exact. You know what'd be awesome for Fast 10? Supposedly that's supposed to be the last one in this storyline. It would be awesome if they did a super time get a time jump, and they did it on some desolate post-apocalyptic Mad Max type of shit. You know, like, these movies are already starting to be like Vigilante 8. The cars have specials. The people have become their cars. They do these special tricks and shit. That's Vigilante 8 Twisted Metal shit. I say Vigilante 8 because I was more partial to that as a kid growing up. But they should really do some post-apocalyptic Mad Max type shit for the last movie. And I think they should have the kids get into some trouble that the adults have to bail them out of. The kids, as in Nico, Brian, little Jack, Brian's little sister, you know. And here we go, Jaimin Hansu, who was super crowbarred into this movie. And, you know, he got a nice little check for it. Because Jaimin Hansu's in what? 3 sequences in this movie. Damn, he's got as many sequences as The Rock. Pretty intimidating guy though, Jaimin Hansu. I always liked him. He's become a lot more than the Amistad guy. He plays in a lot of movies now. He's really great. See what I'm saying? Driving off cliffs and shit. Here we go.
Fire on my mom.
Interesting.
3, 2.
Hold on.
1.
See, no. Nope. I love that camera angle from inside the car. Where Vin Diesel just looks frustrated. He's like, fuck! He's just like, god damn it! He's like, as much armor as this is, this shit hurts! Vin Diesel looks frustrated as shit. Oh man, flying down a cliff, I would be too. But, you know, that's what you get. Like I said, man, you gotta hand me a fair one. Dom is good. Now, I would probably lose, but Dom is gonna have to hand me a fair one.
Looks like our demon luck child worked.
It's one way down a mountain. Where's Ramsey?
Awesome sequence. Now, one thing, again, there are flaws to this movie. This is a very frantic Fast and Furious movie. It's like, one sequence is over. All right, let's have a little dialogue. All right, we're going to the Middle East. That sequence over. All right, we're going back to LA. That sequence over. All right, we're going back here. That sequence is over. All right, let's go back there. It's like, it's a really frantic movie, but I mean, I guess I appreciate it because I got everything I didn't get in Fast 5 and Fast 6. So with this movie, I guess it was a little more straightforward. Which works. You know, it all works.
Feeling nauseous? Ears ringing?
Huh? Where's my shoe?
Oh, flew off and crashed. Just start experiencing any of those things, let me know. Okay.
I don't know whether to thank you for rescuing me or kick your ass for throwing me off a cliff.
Thank us or kick our ass, huh? How about you tell us where that device is?
I mailed it to a friend. In Abu Dhabi.
That was pretty easy. That other team would have tortured you for that information.
I didn't trust them. I trust you. Now, why would you trust us? You barely know us. I know enough. Ex-cop? Military? Something like that? The way you took out them guys shows training. Tech guy, offended by the hacker remark, naturally. Alpha. Mrs. Alpha. Joker.
Wrong. Double Alpha. Man candy.
You know what I'm saying?
Man, sit your candy ass down.
It's like there is a lot of now. If someone wanted to nitpick this movie, they could, because there's a lot of convenience.
Very impressive.
Ramsey probably been around a lot of people, but there's no way she could have known all of this.
It's crazy. You just gonna roll with it? You telling me there can't be a double alpha in one group?
You work for U.S. government.
We got similar interests. Okay, call it in. We're going to the Middle East.
Now, here is what I was saying very early on about compositing Brian from Fast 5 into a scene shot for Fast 7. This is Vin in Fast 7. This is Brian with a beer in his hand from Fast 5. Where they're actually on the balcony, the scene where he's like, do you remember anything about your father? I don't remember anything about mine, because he just was never there. And the way they did it is is clever. To the naked eye, you'd never be able to tell. Like, their voiceovers and everything done by his brother, I suppose. But, you know, I'm very meticulous in how I pay attention to details in movies and stuff like that, and how they make movies and what looks like it belongs and what doesn't. You know, if something looks like they film it days later, I'm almost able to tell. I feel like I can be able to tell if I look hard enough, but that scene, for sure, they composited Brian from Fast 5 out on that balcony early on in the movie to a scene where Vin was actually acting for Fast 7. And they're about to do it again. And it's a scene where Brian is at the end of Fast 5 where he's like, yeah, that's because we're free, before he asks Dom to, or before he tells Dom he wants another shot at the race. They composite him into a scene where Vin Diesel's in the background and they do cuts between Tej and Roman and Letty, and, you know, like I said, to the naked eye it works, but it's hard to get one over on me. This is great, though. Abu Dhabi. I'm glad they went to Abu Dhabi. I never would imagine it was a place they would go to, but it looks like a beautiful place, man. It's a lot of money there. It's a lot of beautiful women. It's a lot of landmark locations. It just looks beautiful all around. Of course, they stray away from Paul Walker in this scene. They put three asses in the forefront, so nobody was probably worried about anyone else's face. Just like right now, we get a slow motion shot of Natalie Emmanuel, which was very needed. Okay, so the fact that I just tried not to drool, I hope that.
What are you in the fourth grade? Can
you just get out? Okay, there we go. There's a shot of Fast 5 I was talking about that they composited into here.
Are you guys for real right now? Look at you. You both look whooped already.
Another shot of Fast 5 they composited into there. Now, I just lost my whole train of thought, and hopefully my lady does not hear this commentary whatsoever. But, goddamn, they just showed a back shot of Ramsey. I mean, if my lady hears this commentary, she knows. She knows. She knows, and I don't have to explain myself and do all this extra stuff. But Natalie Emmanuel had a slow motion scene just now and had a rear end shot of the movie that was very well needed. I mean, all the movies got ass in it, and all the movies got cleavage. You know, for every eye candy for the chicks, there's eye candy for the males, I would like to assume. I'll stop now. I feel like I just dug myself into a ditch. So let me shut the hell up about it.
See, this I like. Billionaire, supercar.
What makes it so super?
242 miles per hour, top speed. And it's bulletproof.
Am I the only one aroused right now? It's like, you know what I'm saying? Where does he keep it?
This penthouse, tower number one.
Beautiful towers, the Etihad Towers.
He can do whatever he wants.
I think I said that right.
Now, tomorrow happens to be the longest day of the year. Prince wants to celebrate it, host the party. Tomorrow afternoon.
He can get us up there, right?
Sure. But, CG shot of Paul Walker. Like his voice sounds a little digital also. And this is another CG shot, but it's a badass shot. I love this. Straight up Mission Impossible James Bond shit. It was a little too fast for me. And even the CG Paul Walker looked amazing in that. But that was a good shot. All of them walking down the steps. Suited up. Booted up.
What? Something wrong?
Civilian things wrong. But not in this moment.
You look handsome.
I feel awkward.
You and me both.
Just seeing you dressed like this just reminds me of something.
Of what?
Old times.
Them flashbacks, man.
Showtime.
This party looks like it's chirping. And I'm mad they just randomly had T-Pain there. Of course, every Fast and Furious movie has to have a party scene.
They telling me they party like this every day. On this level, they party every day. This is crazy. I might have to move out here.
I think I'm going to start a new culture called Blair. You know, like Black Era.
I would look at this when I'm on that position.
Okay, so this is how it works.
We got to move in sync if we're going to pull this off. So let's go over it to make sure everyone clearly understands their role.
Roman, that means you.
You know what? You're being real unprofessional right now, Ted.
The guy's chick is hidden in a speed job that's falling in the prince's car. But she keeps in a safe on the bar.
Now I'm against this man playing close security.
Not to mention the prince. And his personal bodyguards.
Security cameras are clustered by the north wall. That's where the vault is.
Gotta get in that vault. We gotta tap into the security system.
Which can be accessed in the prince's bedroom.
All right, guys, I'm going.
Ronda Rousey. Who didn't make or break the movie for me, but in the really real world, we know Michelle Rodriguez would not beat Ronda Rousey in a fight, but it's Fast and Furious. That's the running gag. That's my story. I'm sticking to it.
What about my step? What am I supposed to be doing?
No, we didn't miss anything.
But even though people say she has a strong face, Ronda Rousey looked pretty good in this movie.
Final phone jack. The tap always on behind that.
There's gonna be a 350 megahertz Cat 5E cable. They probably got a couple dozen back there, but this will be the bonded pair with the platinum coat.
English, guys.
It'll be the orange wire.
It'll be the orange wire.
Right, ladies and gentlemen, we are in the pilot seat.
All right, Roman.
Do whatever it is you do.
It's your birthday, right? Are you Jasmine?
Oh, God, no, not the birthday routine.
Happy birthday to you. This way, this way. Excuse me, so sorry.
This way, this way.
Right this way. Listen, give me one second.
Sir,
thank you so much.
It's a different breed of women out there in Abu Dhabi. Different breed of party. Different, it's a different lifestyle. I would love to go. Not necessarily do what they're doing, but Tej has lines that could be hopefully they get better. Nothing against Luda, That guy's in my top five rappers, dead or alive, but... Okay, we're not going to talk about that. Let's talk about this Lycan Hypersport they just showed. This is a sexy-ass car. I hate that it's red. It's kind of loud. I'd rather it be blue. Best color ever, but... This shit looks like a Decepticon.
And locking the beast in a cage.
And I really want to punch him in the face.
Okay. Let's get to work.
You got this, right?
Now, people, there is about to be a fight with Ronda Rousey and Michelle Rodriguez. That is cute and all. Would you believe but we are about to get one of the greatest, my top five, my number one action sequence in a Fast and Furious movie ever. Not this. This will transpire. We'll talk about it when we get there. It's a lot going on here, though.
All right, listen, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, there he is. He's your dancer. This is a party, baby.
Roman's an ass. He's an asshole, man.
Charlie went to the bathroom and noticed that all the hairspray was missing. Yep, he did it.
Thank you.
And we're so happy for you to be here. It looked like you got some missiles underneath that dress. No,
he didn't.
She looked like, huh?
Did you just say that?
Ronda Rousey's looking in the background like Shao Kahn. Like, she's looking at all her minions get beat the fuck up by Letty.
Not the gate, not the gate. Brian Foster! We're playing all the defense we can up here, but we're gonna lose.
Dom's head is about to explode. He's lifting up this damn Lycan Hypersport. She did the superhero stance. Now, for me personally, this wasn't as good a fight as she had with Gina Carano. It should have been way better, but it wasn't as long. For me anyway, I mean, we can look up the time frames, but it wasn't as long. It wasn't choreographed as good, and it just wasn't as exciting. Like, the fight with Gina Carano, Letty was already rogue. She was with the bad guys. You had Gina Carano, what the hell was her name? Riley. You had Riley, who was working with Hobbs and working with the crew. We didn't know she was bad at the time, but it made it even better that you had the good one fighting who we thought was the bad, who had turned bad, but it was really the good one fighting the one who was originally bad in the first place. You know, I mean, if that made any sense at all. But all in all, the fight with Gina Carano and Michelle Rodriguez in Fast 6 was way better. That's one of the reasons Fast 6 is my favorite Fast and Furious movie ever. And that's all she wrote. Boom. And Roman's looking like, damn. It's like, Letty, where'd you come from? You were here? This shot right here of Brian going for the glove compartment. I didn't know that was CG. It's really good. And Taz gets his moment to shine. Boom. Taz had his little ninjutsu moment. And Ramsey probably just came in her panties. Now here we go, guys. Here we go. This is what I've been waiting for. This made my anxiety kick in. This made me want to be pee-pee pants city. This was probably the best sequence in this entire franchise. Shaw comes in, Terminator. Let me let off in the ceiling real quick. His gun, that is. Get y'all minds out of the gutter. He looks at the car. Dom looks at him, and he just knows for some reason that... But the car is bulletproof, so it's like... Dispatches two goons. Ugh. And then Dom drifts real quick. Shaw just gracefully rolls over the hood. Dom's doing donuts inside this little area. I love it, man. This is good Paul Walker CG, by the way. It's pretty good. It's brief, but it's just enough. Here we go. Jesus Christ, man. I feel like him shooting that grenade at Dom and Brian's car boosted them into the next building a little more. So he probably has Shaw to thank for that. But then no brakes. This was like, I was like, oh fuck. This was fucking great scene. Like my fucking heart almost jumped out of my chest before it exploded. And then he hits the gas. Dom is insane. He's absolutely nuts. And Brian's just like, no. It's like, like I said, you gotta hand me a fair one. You drove through three buildings, my man. And the way it was put together is beautiful. The car is just uncontrollably doing donuts with no brakes, crashing through ancient artifacts and shit. This whole scene is amazing. Door goes. Yeah, that'd have been me. I'd have been jumped the fuck out. He wouldn't have had to tell me. This right here, though. Hey, oof. Every time, my heart I don't care how many times I've seen it. My heart skips a beat when Dom slides to the edge of that window. Every time. Best sequence in Fast and Furious franchise history. And the most painful thing about it is it wasn't even Paul Walker. Digitally imposed, CG stand-in, but nonetheless best executed sequence in Fast and Furious franchise history. That right there. Then the zoom out on the last window. I love it. I don't even know what they're saying. I don't know what they're saying. And it's fucked up because they could be saying "kill all the niggas." I don't know. Lord forgive me if that's what they are saying. But I like the melodic tone of that song, whatever it is.
You steal the host's car. You jump between two buildings.
Actually, it was three buildings. Oh, two insults,
three honors.
My bad. He was such an annoying character.
You've got an interesting interpretation there of low key, Mr. Toretto. You know, Dom, I thought we had an understanding.
Dom's got a way to hang it, though.
That's why I prefer to be the dealer. Good night.
Maybe they'll bring him back, Safar. Now, this was the moment I thought Kurt Russell was going to turn on them and end up being a bad guy when they gave him God's Eye. You see, Brian was a little hesitant to give it to him. He played the music and everything.
With all due respect, Dom, you really did great work back there. All of you. All of my men are now standing by and are fully at your disposal. Your call.
Ramsey.
They keep doing these back shots on Ramsey. James Wan ain't slick. You about as slick as Michael Bay putting the camera up somebody's ass.
What is it doing now?
Shout out to Michael Bay, though.
Hacking into the security cameras at the Trump Towers. That's the last place we saw Shaw, so that's where we'll start.
That's him, right there. Wait, what are these numbers right here for?
It's biomapping Shaw's face.
Now we know somebody out there, the government has God's eye. Little device and shit. Biomapping people's faces and all of that. It actually makes me kind of weary as to what to say on this commentary. But it's just a fucking commentary that's small time.
You just changed the face of manhunts forever. Congratulations. Can I check my email real quick?
Dawn's up in 2 hours.
Some of the lines they give Roman are just not... The comedic timing is not good. I don't know if it's the comedic timing or the delivery that doesn't work for me.
Where you going now? Just you, your team, me.
Like you said at dawn.
My guys are racers. Best drivers in the world. But they ain't killers.
I hate that he said racers.
Well, Dom, and I'm going with you. Well, looks like we got a nice little hunting party. Let's go bag a shadow.
But I love how Brian was riding, though. He said, I know you too well, Dom. I'm going with you. Like, you're not going by yourself. I don't give a fuck what you say. Brian and Dom, man. And I like that it's always been that in the series. You know, like, he says that in every movie after the original. He says, in part, Fast and Furious 4, 2009, where Dom is in the garage of the Toretto house and he's hooking up the car. And he's like, yeah, Buster became a gearhead. He's just like, yeah, I'm going with you. He's like, I don't plan on bringing anyone back. And Brian says, I know. Then in Fast 5, damn, does he say I'm going with you in Fast 5? I can't remember. I know in Fast 6, when Dom comes to him with the BS, he's just like, well, I'm going with you. And Dom says, you said you were going to leave this life behind. Brian goes, well, we both said we were leaving the life behind. And then in this one, he says the same thing. Like, they are really ride or die, man. That's one thing about the camaraderie of these characters. You know, I say that to say this and go back to, you know, the beginning of what I was saying about why I love this. One of the reasons I love this franchise is the camaraderie of these characters. They really care about each other. They really, no matter how much shit they go through, they might beat the shit out of each other in a sequel or two. But they, and you know, they might dog each other out and say some mean things, but they really ride for each other. Even Roman and Tej, man, they, you know, and it's the scene in Fate of the Furious where Roman's about to die. He's about to drown, and Tej saves him. You know, like, these characters are really relatable in a lot of ways, no matter how much people say that these are cheesy, macho, over-the-top action movies. Now, here we got Jaimin Hansu walking in like it's an action fashion show and shit. Damn, Tony Jaa letting the automatic off with one arm. He said, this is an American film. I've done better. Bap, 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 bap. Jaimin Hansu letting the automatic off sideways. Now, Jaron. Damn. The beer's kicking in. John Brotherin has checked out. Kurt Russell is shining now. Tony Jaa got one off, shot Kurt Russell. Now I think this was a doozy, because Kurt Russell had that vest on and he winks at Dom the first time he gets shot, but then he gets hit again, and I think that was the real deal. Holyfield. Now, this was an interesting scene. I feel like it should have went on. That's why I said the movie was very frantic, man. I feel like it should have went on because how did Sean link up with Kiet and Moses Yakande? I would have loved to see that. Like, you know, the enemy of my enemy is my friend type of thing. I would have loved to see how they linked up and came to terms with the fact that they had the same enemy. And I would have loved to see more of Mr. Nobody, even though I said he didn't make or break the movie, him, Dom, and Brian going at it with Kiet, Moses Yakande, and Shaw. I would have loved to see more of that. Maybe in or outside the warehouse, it would have been good to see. But the movie's very frantic. And now you have Moses Yakande. He's got his hands on God's Eye. He looks at Shaw. Shaw walks off because Shaw doesn't give a fuck about God's Eye. He just wants Toretto. You know, they're all they've all got different agendas. But like I said, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. So, you know, they're brought together for kind of this. Kind of the same reason. They have a common denominator they share. I'll put it like that.
I know you won't listen to me. You're not gonna
win. And here in this scene, we do have a CG Paul Walker again driving this SUV. It's very obvious.
Try that Belgian ale, man. It's something special.
Belgian ale, man.
Hey, I gotta get you to the hospital. No, you're not.
It's not 100% bad, but it is obvious. I feel like it's all with CG faces and shit like that. It's all in the eyes, man. It's all in the eyes. I feel like that with practical effects too. Like if you do a practical severed head, it's all in the eyes. There is a, like, the eyes don't really lie for me. It's like a lot is, you know, said without being said. You can look at something and tell what it is or what it isn't sometimes.
God's Eye, and they know that. That means they're not going to stop coming until they've got her. And this time when they come, they're going to come with everything they've got.
And there's another CG Paul Walker shot coming up.
I'll leave in
you. All right, people, I'm going to take a quick bathroom break, so you got to bear with me. I'm back.
Yeah,
I know y'all didn't miss me. They're like, this rookie is acting like it's something special.
That's really close.
Quote, these guys are military. If they're within 2 miles of us, we already...
Yeah, these are...
I don't know about y'all, but I didn't really plan on dying.
Man.
Only one way to stay alive. We play keep away with Ramsey.
What?
They can't hit us if we keep moving.
I'll take Shaw.
Now, this scene was pretty nostalgic because it's at the same guardrail that Brian was, that he stopped racing at and then he pulled off in the beginning of Fast and Furious. But, that CG Paul Walker they had, that was John Berthenol. And am I saying Berthenol or Brotherin? Like, who the fuck? I keep twisting this, and I'm sorry for anybody listening. I keep twisting this name up. John Berthenol is the Punisher, if I'm not mistaken. I have to look this up. Brotherin is his name, I think. I'm pretty sure I said Brotherin. That was him. And that didn't look anything like Paul Walker. But here, rest assured, we get a real scene with Paul Walker and Jordana Brewster.
Brian, are you okay?
And it is very heartfelt and is very special. Something to the series.
If you don't hear from me in 24 hours, I need you to take Jack and move on.
You understand what I'm saying?
I can't do that, Brian. No, I can't. We're gonna have another baby. It's a little girl. She's going to need her father, so you have to finish.
I'm sorry, record scratch. This is why I feel like it was like kind of written in after, you know, to assist the fact that they were going to retire his character and he blended the scenes in together. How the fuck did she know the gender of the baby? She wasn't even showing. Her stomach is as flat as it was in the first movie. I'm sorry, man, but... the fuck, man? Like, I guess continuity schmontinuity, huh? Sorry, man. I'm sorry out there, listeners. I get frustrated with the series because it's my favorite, but there are small things that can be avoided. That's every franchise for me.
The way you said it, it's like goodbye. Say something else.
Let me shut up. They have a moment here.
Okay, just Jack.
Love you, Brian.
No, I'd have called her ass back. Like, yo, don't hang up in my ear without telling me you love me and I'm about to go to war with Shaw and Moses Yakande and Kiet and all these motherfuckers. This is different from part 6. I'd have snapped on her. Like, yo, this is different from part 6. I might not make it this time. Jumping off buses and shit, like driving through your brother got me driving through buildings. I'd have snapped, like, yo, you better tell me you love me. As a matter of fact, I'd have went to go see her.
One last ride.
And the baby. This is a badass scene right here, too. This is very Death Sentence reminiscent of when Kevin Bacon was getting ready. You have not gotten a scene like this up until this point from a Fast and Furious movie. And I knew in the trailer when Brian put that vest on, I knew he was going to rip the FBI tag off of it. I knew it. Because he's not a cop. And when he did it, I'm like, yep, I got something right. And he's got a blue car. He loves his blue cars. Continuity, schmontinuity. I love how the fucking house, the Toretto house blew up, but the garage was still perfectly intact.
We're up God's eye. We'll find him.
Shaw threw that earpiece out like, yup, I don't need y'all anymore. I know where he's at.
Let Shaw take care of him.
Yep. That's why I said they had a common denominator, and now that that's over, they can go about their business. Now, these are the probably hands down the worst CG scenes. Like, inside the car, No, inside the car is probably the worst CG Paul Walker moments. It looks like fucking PS2. When he's like, I think we got bigger problems than that. We're going old school. It's like, dude, you definitely are going old school because you look like Sega Saturn.
Guys, they're here.
How many cars?
None.
And that's kind of the problem.
See, that line was delivered okay. It could have been really bad.
Okay, let's give him the tour. Break up my mark. 3, 2, 1, go!
Speeding up won't work.
Can't hide from God's eye.
They're in range. Ramsey, stop the hack!
Now, while this is my second favorite Fast and Furious movie, it is second favorite for a reason, because this third act drone shit was definitely not better than the third act jumbo jet, grappling hook, everybody rumbling on the plane, people rumbling outside their cars. That was amazing. I think I might do that commentary next. I might go from 7 on down, or I might go 7, 6, 8. I don't know. We'll figure it out. But, I mean, this third act isn't terrible. It just wasn't better than 6. See that? Hey.
Oh my god.
Going old school. So we're going Sega Saturn out this. Now, this was a blend of CG and. See, that was really Paul Walker in that scene. And I love that they drove under the semi. I love it. That's why I said everything came full circle in this movie from the original movies up until. It's just, even though you know maybe the jet was CG, it's probably a practical mix. This drone looks just super CG. Sega CG. It's a new gaming system I'm coming out with. Brian was always the best driver, man. To this day, it's my word and I'm sticking to it. Brian was always the best driver. Dom, you know, people might argue and say Dom Toretto is the best driver. He is the most suicidal, reckless driver. Brian is the most strategic, agile, and useful. You know what I mean? Brian doesn't take as many risks for a reason. Shit works, man. Here we go. These two playing chicken again. They're measuring dicks with no airbags. He's like, you got an airbag? He's like, no. Do you have an airbag? It's like, no, fuck it. Let's just crash into each other and end up in each other's cars afterwards when we fly through the windshields. Yeah, see, even though there are brief cuts, you know that's not Paul Walker. This shit looks terrible. I love this part. They did a nice little nod to this in Hobbs and Shaw also. This is great. Brian and Roman. Ugh. Hot potato. Ugh. Love it. Now that part was cool. I do love that part of the third act. If they could have done that in Fast 6, yeah. That was fucking awesome.
Wait. We're still being hacked.
What?
God's eye is still tracking Ramsey.
Keep the drone in pursuit of her. The signal has to be coming from somewhere.
These niggas don't care, man. Thing is, who cleans up all this shit afterwards?
Wait, stop.
This Michael Bay type of destruction.
They've cut the signal. I can't finish the hack.
What do you mean? Right, they took out the tower.
Dad, what's going on?
Daddy's gotta go to work.
I just gotta go to work, baby. Let me put this vest on, load my gap to pop these perks. Higher than a motherfucker.
You know our drill. Give me three for the road.
That's crazy, because I just taught my daughter how to do that three for the road thing. It's awesome. It's awesome daddy-daughter shit. Now, here we go. Dom could have easily walked up to him and blew that motherfucker's brains out, but he pulled out the two fucking wrenches. Yo, when he pulled them jaws out, I said, oh no!
You're goddamn right it is.
This was awesome. He just brought out two pieces of scrap metal. They fucking about to go at it. Damn. Now apparently they received a lot of injuries filming this scene, which is fucking awesome, because you want to get as much as the realism as you can. That's great, man. Why he had to call up Kiet? He couldn't handle his own shit.
Boys is on us, and them boys ain't ready for this.
Yo, Roman and Taz. Roman and Taz are fucking retarded. Meanwhile, these two are still having a lightsaber fight. Damn. Ugh. Wow, with that spinning camera again. Love it, man. He brings it back home. He You put it in the beginning, you put it in the end. God damn it, man. This, now, while this is my second favorite Fast and Furious movie, this shit has a lot going for it, man, direction-wise. I wonder what the... now, I don't remember what the audience was like when that shit blew up. I want to know who was like... or like, the premiere, because I saw it, like, later. I want to know what the audience was like during the premiere, where they were like, oh my god, they blew up Tej, Roman, and Ramsey! That was slick, though, that they jumped out the car. I really hope it's more interaction with these three, in Fast 9. Because she asked both of them, she's like, well, what's my last name? And they didn't know. Save us, honey? Where it? Letty. Gotta love Letty. This irked me because it wasn't even running like Brian usually runs. It's kind of weird. I don't know. I nitpick that shit. This scene, surfing on a fucking door, beating his ass on the way down. This was amazing. Whoa. Now you could tell this wasn't Paul Walker, and this was, what was it, Caleb? Now I can't remember the brothers' names. You could tell this was the younger one because, like, he didn't have the moves his brother had, so Brian O'Connor was getting his ass kicked in the scene. Now, I'll go out on a limb and say my defense for him as a character was that he was winded. He's been driving around, he's been running around the streets all day, he's been sliding around on shit, trying to save his own life, so whatever. But he still outsmarted the villain. That was bad. You know that was bad.
It's coming back. We're losing in the tunnel.
Got it.
And her ass is on fire. I mean, this goes back to what I said about convenience, that Hobbs just so happened to drive over a fucking bridge and hit the drone. But it's Hobbs and it's Fast and Furious. That's the running gag. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. I don't care. Someone just double tapped our drone. And Jaimin Hansu, that's all he does is yell from here on out. He's like, what?
Ah! I am the cavalry.
Of course you are.
Who is that? That's Hobbs.
This was one of the scenes I didn't know that it was a CG Paul Walker. It looked really good.
Ramsey, go.
Brian did it. We're back in. We've got God's eye back.
We lost the God's eye.
What? Shit!
Military's inbound. 3 minutes in closing. We need to get the hell out of here.
Dez, Roman, I'm on my way.
All right, homie, I'll see you there.
Damn. Wait, get your ass down. He had to remind Toretto who the fuck he was for a second. Even though I'm rooting for Toretto, it's like Shaw is no joke, man. He got the moves. He looked like, you got grenades, nigga? Ugh.
I have eyes on Toretto.
Damn. I like how the camera tilted because they were like just winded at each other.
Thing about street fights, the street always wins.
Yeah, this was a little extreme. I mean, I know. You gotta call a spade in the Fast and Furious franchise, but this shit. Stomping? Bruh. Shaw's doing his Predator imitation. Damn. I was like, that's my fucking girl. Yo, Jaimin Hansu. This shit got wild, man. The whole fucking parking garage collapsed. Ah, shout out to the real Paul Walker. It's good to see you back, man. I feel like this Nas boost was on some other shit because he had a different color flame come out of his exhaust pipe. This looks scary though. If you crashed, you a regular human being? And you crash like that? Nah. Okay, now that's plausible. Hobbs, how the fuck did Hobbs shoot that bag of grenades is plausible. It's a plausible complaint. I won't even argue it. I will argue a lot of superhuman things in this series. I will not argue that. I love in this scene how Brian didn't give up on his friend. Shit got real for a second.
Baby, I know you're hurting right now, but I want you to listen, stay awake, and focus on me. I remember everything. It came to me like a flood. I remember that night in the Dominican Republic. The night we got married.
We have eternity in this moment.
You will never be alone again. I vow, wherever you go, I go. You ride, I ride. You fight, I fight. And if you ever die on me, Dominic Toretto, I'm gonna die with you.
They don't build them like that anymore.
I love you, man. I will always love you.
If you die, I die. And I'm not ready to leave this place yet. This mama still are.
I mean, would that be kind of selfish on her behalf to say that I'm not ready to leave this place yet?
I remember
it's like,
everything.
If that nigga was ready to go,
I remember it all.
Or if he had already gone.
It's about time.
Well, which he didn't, because he just spoke. So. All the fans out there, don't get mad at me. I was just speaking hypothetically.
Why didn't you tell me who you married?
Because you can't tell someone they love you.
Awesome. He said you can't tell somebody they love you when in reality she told him in the next movie, The Fate of the Furious, she said, you know, he shot a gun in the air, she turned around with the briefcase and said, I don't know why you're doing this, but I know one thing, you love me and you are not going to shoot me. Everything ties in, man. If you're a fucking geek like me and, you know, you pay way too much attention to shit than you're supposed to, then everything ties in the way it's supposed to.
Oh, they ain't mine. They're here to protect you
from me killing your ass.
know what I noticed? Fast and Furious doesn't kill off his villains either. At least not since Fast 5. Because Hobbs blatantly shot that dude in the Reyes in the fucking chest. Well, that's because he killed his men, so. You know, Shaw didn't die. I wouldn't be surprised if they brought Gina Carano back. Surviving the same fall that Shaw survived. I don't even know what they're saying. Sorry. I just get excited. Gotta love those shots. Between two cars onto the beach or whatever the terrain is. CG Paul Walker, but it works. It works, and the fact that this is a beautiful scene makes it work even more. Now, for anybody out there who might be listening by any God-given chance at this point, I didn't cry in the theater. I cried behind closed doors when I saw this ending. This is one of the most poetic, amazing, beautiful fan service send-offs that I've ever seen in my life. That's why I said early on, if they could have ended the series with this movie, it would have worked. Because it was 100% perfect. There was no stinger at the end. There was no nothing. There was no setup for the characters to go on and do missions and shit. Like, it was, that was it. This was awesome for a final ending. But, you know, clause in the contract. Plus, Paul Walker knew there was going to be another movie after this, so I understand. I understand. It's been a I'm really impressed by how this was handled, man. You get a lot of movies where people die before you finish filming the film, and you can either shelf it or you can honor the person and do what you gotta do. It doesn't always work out, man, in your favor, but this is definitely one of the cases where it did. They did it really, really gracefully, man.
Right here, right now. Salute me from here.
This was some good Paul Walker CG when he turns and just kind of like smirks.
You'll always be with me.
Because he kind of shakes his head like, like, man, you know. Like, he shook his head at him like, listen, man, you know, we homies. And then when they part ways, that was it for me, man. That was it for me, man. I'm not gonna cry now because, you know, I got a reputation to uphold and I'm a goon like that. But however. No, but when he looks at him and kinda he looks at him and then he looks back at the road and he kinda shakes his head and then they say for Paul, which was really, it was a really classy touch. But you know, when he looks back at the road and kinda like shakes his head and just like, he's just like, yeah, whatever, man. Like, you, like, man, whatever. Like, he knows what type of terms they're on. That's how I look at character-wise. That's how I look at it. He knows what type of terms they're on. It's like, listen, man, I gotta get out of this. You're my boy. You're my brother. But I gotta get out of this, man. But you know, it's goodbye. But it's not forever. You know what I mean? But all in all, this definitely is number two of the Fast and Furious ranking for me. Like I said, Fast 6 is number 1, Fast 7 is number 2, Hobbs and Shaw is number 3. Easy number 4 is damn, what did I say? It was Fate of the Furious, I think it was. But yeah, this one nonetheless, it brought a lot of flavor to, you know, James Wan definitely put his he put his stamp on the Fast and Furious franchise. So after this, it was kind of, I'm not going to say they watered it down, but they kind of did. I mean, they watered it down for the better, which was more practical. Practical usage. But as far as like my anxiety kicking in and it feeling like a thriller, this is it right here, man. James Wan did the damn thing to it. Chris Morgan wrote the script once again, and gotta say, man, like, you know, like I said before, I commend them for going through such a tragedy and continuing on with the filming and making adjustments to the script to, you know, get things done, you know, to get things done with the character of Brian O'Connor. And RIP Paul Walker. And as much as I, you know, I wanted to stay until the ending credits, but my friends were like, no, come on, man, let's get the fuck up out of here, get out your seat. But, you know, I wanted to stay until the ending credits, but once I bought the DVD, it's just like, yeah, there are no stingers, there are no Marvel stingers, there's no post-credit sequences, which is rightfully so. After an ending like that, you don't really want to ruin it with a stinger. Now, I will say this, I am curious to know what the original ending was before Paul Walker passed away. I'm very curious to know what that was, because from what they said, it set up the universe in different ways and set up the sequels in different ways or whatever the fuck they said early on. But I was always curious to know that. But the finished product, nonetheless, is always epic. And, you know, that's it. All I have to say about that. Forrest Gump style. Now, I feel like I want to do Fast 6 after that, but I feel like I'm going to do my October audio commentaries very randomly, so y'all have to bear with me. This was my first time officially doing an audio commentary all the way through. No interruptions, no nothing, with the exception of bathroom breaks and little small shit like that here and there. But nonetheless, it's fun, and if people enjoy it, then I'll continue to do it. So I don't know, man. I don't know what commentary is going to be next. Maybe it'll be another Fast and Furious movie. Maybe it'll be Need for Speed, which came out around the time Fast and Furious 6 came out, and that's why it flopped, because you came out at the wrong fucking time. Maybe it'll be a car movie. I don't know. But nonetheless, yours truly, Romero Tudor. Follow me on Instagram, Facebook, Romero Tudor. Got a Facebook movie group, The Cinemaniacs. If I can put a link anywhere in this when I post it, I will post it, absolutely. But I really enjoyed talking shit about this movie and talking good about this movie, praising it. I don't know, maybe I'll do the, I'm looking at movies across the room now, maybe I'll do the Resident Evil, maybe I'll do a random Resident Evil movie, I don't know, but nonetheless, just sit and wait for it for anybody that's looking forward to it, man. I appreciate y'all, love y'all to death, and I'll see y'all next go-round.